Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on RadioMD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you very much for doing so. We have a great guest for you today. This is 1048B, and as you know, the B's are always guests on You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Susanna O'Brien is a nurse who has a very interesting and unusual career. I'm going to let her describe that to you, other than to tell you that the website is Doula Givers, D-O-U-L-A, Givers, G-I-V-E-R-S.com. And to me, she's in a exciting area, exciting because it is so needed. Suzanne, thanks very much for coming on. Tell us what Doula Givers does and how you got into this field.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And absolutely, it would be an honor. So it's a little bit of an unusual story. I was a hospice nurse and an oncology nurse. And, you know, the death is something that is not going well right now. It hasn't been for a long time for an array of reasons. But one of the things that is so important for people to understand that the current model of how we support people in mainstream medical at the end of life is that the hospice nurse is to teach ideally the family how to actually do that care because most people want to be at home. And because of the reimbursement structure and the short amount of time that I'm actually in a home as a hospice nurse, we were finding that there wasn't a lot of teaching opportunities. And also, of course, you know, death is the number one fear and people come on hospice services very late right now. So back in 2008, I thought, well, you know, people should learn how to care for somebody at the end of life before they ever needed it so that they're not faced with that fear in front of them. And so we had time, ample time to, you know, discuss and explore. And again, 100 years ago, this was a skill that a grandmother used to hand down to a grandchild. So I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put together from my experience from start of a terminal diagnosis all the way through to the time of end of life, phases, the three phases of end of life with interventions to use for comfort for that person, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because we are holistic beings. And that was in 2008, and it worked so beautifully that at this point, we've trained over 100,000 people worldwide in this end of life doula from Doula Givers training.
And trained 100,000 people is enormous, but obviously there's a great need. So part of it is teach the teachers. Mm-hmm. When you, as a physician, when you go and see mm-hmm. this occur, it's exactly as you mm-hmm. have said. There's a hospice care team, hospice nurse, and often a clergy person as well. But the point that I think none of us understand is the stages, and nobody really understands the financing until they have to go through with it. So why don't you describe, and you talked about the short term for hospice. In the U.S., there's a system of Medicare that gives a few days of hospice. How many is that? And then what happens? So could you describe that and why not only do people want to be at home, but why that is financially often what happens even if you don't want it?
Yeah, sure. So I think that, you know, there was what my mother tends to call the perfect storm surrounding this area of, you know, aging and end of life. And so one of the things that you've said is very important to understand that the reimbursement structure that's dictated, you know, the medical staffing is so incredible. These are absolute heroes that do this work. And I think right now everyone's realized that when there's a high need all at once, like COVID, that the system can't handle that. And the same thing with end of life. We've never seen an aging population in history like the one we have now. and we don't have the structure to handle that kind of volume. Now, there's good news on the other side of that. So let's just start with answering your question. So it's the reimbursement structure that dictates how long a medical nurse or, you know, the team can actually be there. But what about all those other hours that the family is to care for their loved one at home? And the fear of this death doesn't allow people to come on till, most people are coming on services very late in their end of life process, which they can come on hospice. Criteria is that if you have a terminal diagnosis that it looks like it's going to be 6 months or less in your prognosis, then you can qualify for hospice. The median number of days right now is 14 that people are on the services. And for myself, I was there as a hospice nurse once a week for about an hour if my patient was what you call stable. And there's just all this other time that's going on that's not being filled, and very, very hard to do teaching in that crisis space.
And after, if someone happens to outlive that 6 months period, what then happens? And I think the process of doula givers, and the website is doula, D-O-U-L-A, givers.com, is so important. So it is different. So first of all, what happens after that 6 months? Let's just say you went into hospice with a diagnosis of cognitive dysfunction and serious mental decline. Mm-hmm. Then what would happen?
I love that question. And again, these conversations are so empowering to have with community, because most people, again, don't know the answers. They don't know what's available to them. So when somebody does not have their end of life, which is a good thing, and it's very interesting, when there's really good symptom management and care, we have seen people do better in the last 6 months of life than the last 20 years. So occasionally that does happen, that somebody will live longer. And what happens there is I call it a graduation, but they get discharged from hospice services. And there's a good and a bad thing there. So what happens, and I think the awareness that we need to bring about, is that our aging population and the amount of care that is needed for our families to be supported to take care of their aging and their elderly is just not there right now. And so when people are what I call graduated from hospice, they haven't had their end of life in 6 months. And yes, isn't that a good thing, right? But the families sometimes are found very lost because they got very attached to this hospice team, to some support, the good work that's being done, and then we sort of go away. So people can, again, be readmitted when there is a decline. But I think there's a bigger thing that we need to talk about here, is how can we support families in education with taking care of those they love as they age? Because right now, again, we are seeing an aging population like we've never had before. And I don't think people understand that most people over the age of 65, 85% of people need some form of care at some point in their journey. And so as we age really into the years, usually there is a, you know, physical limitation or a cognitive or both. And so for us to get into a place where we can say we need to do more for families in offering education and support so that they can care for their loved ones at home with the skills, with, you know, again, having support so they're not being stressed and all that, is something that we really need to bring into our world right now because of this crisis with our elderly that's going on. And that's what Doula Givers hopes to help to achieve.
So what's the difference? What do you do differently now than you did when you were a hospice nurse, mm-hmm. Suzanne? So I should tell people we are talking with Suzanne O'Brien, a mm-hmm. nurse from actually Poughkeepsie, New York, who has expanded and has founded Doula Givers, Doula Givers Foundation, and doulagivers.com. I think it's doulagivers.com. D-O-U-L-A givers.com is the website. So what's the difference between doula care and hospice care?
Okay, great question. So there are so many similarities, and I fell in love with the hospice the minute that I got there. And because it was a holistic model of care. And so you're, you know, you're treating the physical, but you're treating the emotional and the spiritual and the, you know, the whole person. So there is a lot of overlap. So the clarity with what is the difference between a hospice nurse and a doula giver is that the hospice nurse is the medical manager of that person in that care, and the doula giver is the non-medical professional. So I sort of think of with no time limitation. See, the doula giver does not have a time restriction on, you know, how long we can be in the home because we're not reimbursed by insurance. So I think of us as like the eyes and ears, the reinforcing of the teaching, the alerting the hospice team when there's a change in presentation, which is critical to change the care plan for optimum quality of life every single day. So again, the difference would be, because there's a lot of overlap in what we do, is that the hospice nurse is the medical manager of that patient and family, and the doula giver is the non-medical professional in that case.
And if you had your druthers in your will, what would happen to end-of-life care 10 years from now? And what would the system work like? And what would be the role of the doula, I guess it is the doula giver for the end of life?
For me, and of course I've been working in this space for a very long time, that the privilege to be working with patients and families at the end of life has taught me everything personally about how to live. And what do I mean by that? I mean about the power of our presence and compassion and not taking things, you know, for granted in our lives. It completely changed the way that I live and taught me so much. And so what I hope, and I often will share this and ask this question when I start talks, is death a medical experience? And people, you know, kind of, you know, tilt their head and actually it's not. Death is a human experience. It's wonderful to have medical support, but we know how to do this. And we've been dying for thousands of years. And I think that we forgot that. And we've kind of outsourced it to making it a medical experience. And I hope to bring back the human component and also the reality that one day the journey will not be as we know it today, which for me and many people that we've talked with makes me again have a very different appreciation of every single day. And we again thread our trainings with wonderful wisdom from those at the end of life about really what the life's journey was about, connecting and contributing in some form of service and again presence. So there's so much we can learn from end of life, and I hope that we take end of life right now as the number one fear, and I hope that we can turn that into something that can be our greatest teacher about how to live together, you know, in this beautiful experience that we're having.
We've been talking with Suzanne O'Brien, the founder and creator of the award-winning program Doula Givers, end of life doula training, elder care doula training, and doula giver care consultant training. Susan O'Brien can be found at doulagivers.com. And as you can gather, I consider this a absolutely wonderful adjunct that all of us can benefit from. Doula Givers, this has been podcast 1048B. The B's are always the guest segment. The A, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. We have another great guest lined up next week, as we had last week, and we look forward to talking with you then. I can't say enough about doula givers, as you can probably understand, because I think it is such a valuable adjunct to the end-of-life process. Thanks again, Suzanne. Caitlin is our engineer. Thank you. But especially you, the listener, thank you. We are brought to you this week, as every week, by Persona Nutrition. You can find supplements, vitamins, tailored to your diet, tailored to what you need, at personanutrition.com. Thanks again.